I thought it would be useful to talk about how trauma is processed and how it's sometimes really difficult for us to get past.
When we talk about trauma, how would you actually define the term?
I suppose it's different for different circumstances, but something that affects us at a really core level and then is processed by our brain in a different manner.
And I guess also when we're talking about trauma, it's important to remember that different people have different reactions. For one person, something that might be traumatic might not be as traumatic for another person.
That's right. And the same circumstance in different settings can be traumatic or not traumatic for the same person.
For a person listening who would consider themselves going through a traumatic experience, where would we start by terms of offering advice?
I suppose really what's important for us to recognise is that our brain is actually processing the information experienced through that trauma in a different way. So it's not our usual everyday memory that's being processed. It's something that's made us uncomfortable, maybe made us feel unwell, something that's made us really unhappy or out of our comfort zone. And so therefore, when we go to process that memory down the track or that night, when we process it with different alarm bells, I suppose.
Feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm going to go out on a limb here. Is or would it be fair to suggest that trauma is maybe a sort of heightened anxiety?
It can be experienced in that way, yes. Sometimes people who experience trauma may not even realise what they're reacting to until it comes out in a discussion or conversation later on.
Now, it's funny you should mention that, actually, because it brings to mind a friend of mine many years ago who was attacked by a dog and in quite a severe manner. And they'd grown up, they thought they were okay about it. And then I remember them telling me about an instance where a dog again nipped them, I think it was just on the hand, and suddenly they felt completely traumatised, and it took them back to when they were a seven-year-old and had this horrible, horrible experience, yet they had thought they dealt with it.
Yes, I think what happens is when we experience a trauma, it's processed by more by our limbic system and our amygdala, the part of the brain that's due very much to a more primal way of processing things. And that's for our own self-preservation and protection. And what happens then when something happens is it's almost an instinctive response as opposed to a response that's processed by more our prefrontal cortex, where that's the part of the brain that we make our decisions with, that reason and rational thought comes from. So we've got this response to something that we don't quite understand why we're responding in the way that we are, and we can't talk ourselves out of it. So it's an instinct as such, almost.
So where do you even begin to confront that?
I suppose what we try to do in psychology now is understand that trauma is actually processed in that manner, and it becomes in a lot of ways more of a physical processing, so that we need to manage it through physical and psychological means together. One of the most popular treatments for trauma at this point that has a really quite a high success rate at about 70% is what we call EMDR, which is for eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. And that's where we simulate what we believe is the stage of sleep where we process everyday memories so that we get someone to remember what the trauma is and go through it in their mind, and at the same time simulate the usual processing method so that we translate that memory from a traumatic memory into a more everyday memory. This is only going to work, though, in instances where we know there is no further risk happening from that trauma.
So can I ask you for an example of that?
One of the most commonly used examples would be someone who was perhaps returned from a war situation. If someone came back to their barracks in another country or something where they were still fighting and we did this technique and sent them back out to war, that wouldn't be helpful. But if they came home to Australia where they were now safe and it wasn't helpful to have the traumatic memories of that war situation in their home country where they're safe and where the things that they hear and the things that they see don't have those same contexts, then we can dissociate those traumatic triggers, if you want, and it's not then related to them experiencing or re-experiencing the trauma every day that they receive a trigger.
And presumably this type of therapy is something that a person needs to see a psychologist to have the treatment?
I believe there are different therapists who will do EMDR, but there are other similar techniques, not exactly EMDR, but other techniques that involve a component of physical treatment that are also really good at treating trauma. We know now that there are forms of yoga that can be really good for treating trauma, and that there are some specific yoga instructors set up to look at assisting with that too.
We had one on the program only a couple of weeks ago, actually.
Wonderful. That's excellent.
As a psychologist, what would be, obviously without giving away anyone's personal details, what would be some of the typical traumas that people might be having difficulty dealing with on a daily basis?
A lot of complex trauma sufferers have a history of there being additional traumas in their past. So someone might have an incident that happens today in a workplace or on the road or with friends, and then following on from treating that, we find that some of the aspects of that trauma have also triggered some historical traumas from their childhood that might relate to any of those things too.
So I guess childhood bullying or abuse of some description?
Yep, that's a very common one, sadly.
Is there a difficulty, I guess, in convincing someone that a trauma is something that they need to actually deal with, or that they can get help in dealing with an issue that they have found troubling for most of their adult life?
I think people really need to be at a place where they're ready to address it, because the process of healing from a trauma can be exhausting in itself. It can result in loss of sleep, and it usually involves some form of re-experiencing of the trauma in a safe situation. So that re-experiencing can be really uncomfortable. So it's best if there are means and methods that are set up to assist that individual to feel safe and as comfortable as possible during that re-experiencing time.
If someone is listening at home and can identify with what we've been talking about, but perhaps doesn't feel that they're quite ready to seek professional treatment, is there anything a person can do at home?
I think that's one of the things that's really difficult. With a lot of self-management techniques, they involve cognitive behaviour therapy and talking yourself out of things. Trauma's a little bit difficult because you can't access the same parts of the brain to use reason and to use logic. It makes it much more difficult and therefore can sometimes be much more frustrating for people who are trying to look at healing their own trauma, that it's almost as though there needs to be another party or another person involved in assisting who's got some skills in managing that and to assist them with that.
Because I guess the danger in dealing with your own trauma is where people self-medicate. Maybe sometimes it's with too much alcohol or other forms of drugs.
It's really hard when you're going through a process of re-experiencing or going through a process where you are triggered back to almost being in the situation of the trauma, however long ago it occurred, to then be able to not want to escape that situation. So people use various methods to do that, yes.
Is the first port of call making an appointment with your GP for a referral?
I think a GP is a really good place to start because it's important that they remain the central person in someone's healthcare. So having a GP that you get along with and can speak well to is really good. And also they've got a bit of an understanding or access to your records, that so they'll understand what's worked in the past and what other things might have been tried.
Sabina Lane, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for your advice this morning, and I look forward to the next time we chat.
Thank you for having me.